With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Everton Fan Focus podcast with Mark Finnegan and Mark Ellis.
Hello.
How are you, lad?
I'm fine, mate. Well, better than fine, mate, to be honest, on cloud nine, I think, if that rhymes as well. With that win, absolutely fantastic, mate, wasn't it?
Have you stopped dancing?
No, still not. I'm sort of mastering dancing and talking at the same time, mate, whilst drifting in the living room right now. Forget about the wallpaper. No, it's awesome, mate.
What a fantastic result that was tonight,
yeah,
though, Mark.
Brilliant, I mean, wasn't it?
Just... we were slow to get going, but by all means, that second half and what we've just seen in the past, say, 35 to 40 minutes was just so elating, wasn't it? And so it's typical not to get too excited, really. We were so clinical, wasn't we?
It's like, that's how good we can be, you know. It's just fantastic to see how good... when we turn it on, how devastating we can be. We're not an average team, are we? We just looked there after a bit of a shaky first half, like the, you know, one of the best teams in the league over a 12-minute period.
Ruthless.
So, absolutely clinical, mate. Cutthroat, deadly. And it personified the manager's approach to his, the way he wants it to be with that, you know, the way his whole approach has been. I thought that second half personified him and what he said at our time. Again, masterstroke substitutions.
Well, we'll look in at the game in a bit more detail as we go on. Yeah. I mean, we've just obviously watched the game, so we're still on a massive high. The cups of tea and biscuits soon turned into crisps and beer.
We've gone hardcore.
I think we were probably both excited going into it, wasn't we? Felt like we've waited probably 3 months or something for a game of football to watch Everton, even though it's only been a fortnight, but that international break is always, it's a twat of a time, let's be honest, isn't it? We're all just getting excited for the new season. The way Everton are playing, they've got a bit of momentum, you know, we're going well under Koeman so far. And then Everton stops the bank holiday, and then after that, it's the international break. And you just, with us playing on the Monday night as well, just feels like we've been waiting forever for this game. And I would like to think, Don Mark, myself and you definitely, when we sat down before the game, and other fans on social media and whatnot, all very positive going in, thinking we could get a result tonight.
Absolutely, mate. You're right, it has been an absolute mission of a weight for this game, and that's why I hate international football for what it does. It just kills it completely, any momentum that we have and stuff. But no, you're right. The confidence amongst the fans today on Twitter and all that, no one said we got beat. You know, and this is a team that we got beat 3-0 by last season. Different set of circumstances completely, but it was like that there was we do believe in this team as Evertonians, we definitely do. You know, we were all a bit gutted, all a bit disappointed, nothing big happened on transfer deadline day. But what we did seem to forget is that we signed some very, very good players. You know, you go a long way to find a window where you'd sign so many accomplished players. Added to the fact now we've got a proper manager stood there with a proper team behind him. It's just, we just, I don't know, we're looking very good this season. I'm so excited.
Positivity from Mark Ellis there. Are you sure? I thought you were on Twitter having a meltdown on deadline day.
I was, yeah, but I've got to sort of feed my audience. I can't just be positive all the time. I'm going to lose 3,000 people.
You've got to better entertain the cranks. But yeah, I agree. Though. I do think there was a lot of positivity with Evertonians going into it. There'd be no reason not to be positive, I don't think, going into that game tonight. Of course, what happens in the transfer window is another conversation which we definitely need to discuss, don't we?
Definitely.
We'll get the guns out and have a little battle off over that. But obviously, we need to talk about the match first and foremost, because it's what every Evertonian's probably dancing around the house or the coach or whatever to the Yannick Bolasie song at the moment. So it's a very relevant topic. But starting from the top, he named a different type of lineup. He obviously brought Seamus Coleman back in for Mason Holgate. Let's just start with that. Do you think that was harsh?
I don't know. Initially, my first reaction was I felt sorry for Holgate because he's done absolutely nothing wrong. But we don't know. We just don't. I would see with Miners, I'd have probably jumped all over that and said it was a piss poor decision, weak management. But with Koeman, I've got faith that the guy can see the bigger picture more than the rest of us. He knows the score. He knows that the squad needs depth for the cup competitions and all that. So I don't know. But Coleman, was one of the best right backs going. It doesn't seem to walk back into the team on that alone. But I don't know. We just don't see the bigger picture. But certainly. Plays off, hasn't it? Coleman had a good game.
I was just going to say, he was probably one of the standout performers, Seamus Coleman. He came back in like he hadn't been out for a couple of weeks. And people probably before the team, when the team was announced at 7 o'clock, said, oh, I can't believe they've bombed Holgate out. But I think it's almost certain that Mason Holgate's going to be in and around that start 11 for most of the season anyway. He's going to be fighting toe-to-toe with Jagielka, Funes Mori and Ashley Williams for a centre-half place, never mind Seamus Coleman at a right-back place, isn't he?
He's that good, absolutely, yeah. It's going to be more competition for places. But you can't, it's horses for courses, isn't it? This is a game, Sunderland's not doing great, not got any sort of presence up front apart from Defoe and all that. It's a game where maybe he wanted to get Coleman back on the ball, get him back playing, because, on his day, he is a valuable asset to the team, so you've got to reintroduce them at some point. So there's no way you can really win with the fans, because it's going to look like Holgate's just Coleman's the number one. But maybe, I don't know, I've got more faith in Koeman than that. Martinez, I would have said weak management, but I think Koeman's done it for the right reasons today. And we just watched us go joint seconds, so who's complaining?
I think Saturday, Mark, with the injuries Bolasie and Lukaku have picked up there, and Seamus Coleman just coming back from injury.
Yeah.
We probably could see Mason Holgate in the side starting on Saturday against Middlesbrough. We could see Gerard Deulofeu coming in to start instead of Bolasie. These are the things. He's obviously, I wouldn't say he's got his favourites, but he's come in and he's identified who is probably his best 11 is, but he marked 15 of the players maybe and thought, right, these are the ones who are going to be in the reckoning. As we discussed before, the likes of Oviedo, the likes of Cleverley, Aruna Kone, players like that, they're going to be sort of on the fringes. Even, Romero Funes Mori, which is a major decision coming in.
It wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
No, for the
Joe time. Robles, the list goes on, doesn't it? Yeah. There's players there that we forget that are Aaron Lennon.
It goes on. The list.
I think the decision behind that tonight is, I said to you, Jordan, the game, I think that was Ronald Koeman's strongest 11 in his eyes at the moment. I definitely think that's where he started tonight. I think he isn't Deulofeu's biggest fan. He signed Bolasie for a reason, and although it took time to get going tonight, it definitely clicked, and you can see why we have signed him. But I do think that he's very authoritative and forthright in his decision making and his squad selection. So it may have raised a few eyebrows again tonight, but I've seen eyebrows raised and comments on Twitter and that before every game so far this season. And do you know what I mean? It's eventually come good so far. And look at the league position and where we are and the statistics so far. It's looking good. So he came back in, Seamus Coleman.
Yeah.
He played Ashley Williams, Mark. Mori was on the bench.
Yeah.
Idrissa started with Gareth Barry in the middle, Ross Barkley just ahead, Kevin Morales, Bolasie and Lukaku up front. So overall, we were promising going into it.
We looked competitive, didn't we? When that team was announced, certainly, you know, it did look like it was Koeman's strongest 11, or at least his favoured 11, you know, what he preferred. He clearly doesn't rate Funes Mori, does he, or players certainly the likes of Cleverley and all that, just nowhere near it, are they? But, you know, I just thought that second half replicated, or what's the word, was Koeman personified, if you know what I mean. Just, I thought that's the way he wants Everton to play. That's the way, you know, if you've got good players, but it's getting them to apply what he wants them to do. And I thought, second half, we just, right from the word go, just took a stranglehold of that game. And it was, you know, then that quality shone through. It's fantastic.
It definitely did. And, you know, before we get ahead of ourselves and have a Drissa Guy party.
Oh, mate.
Talking about the second half, the first half, there was chances for either side, weren't you? Let's be honest. It was pretty open. I thought we had probably lion's share of possession.
Yeah.
But with Defoe up front, they've always got a threat. You know, Lukaku coming back into the side after international break, people were seeing how he was going to respond. He certainly looked up for it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Thought he linked up well with Ross Barkley early on. Morales was relatively quiet. Balassi fell over a few times, but he did get a few dangerous balls in. But the chances of note was, I think it was after 5 or 6 minutes when Defoe blasted over. That was a real chance, wasn't it?
Clean through. Well, the ball just ended up coming to him, didn't it? 6 yards out. Looked offside, but he wasn't. Clearly, blasted over. Unlike Defoe, he's normally got ice in his veins in them positions, hasn't he? But, you know, thankfully he missed it. Yeah.
Following on from that, we had the Lukaku header, which was probably about 5-10 minutes after that. Really good save by the Sunderland rookie goalkeeper. I think he's third choice.
Yeah.
It was a lovely ball over. That was Balassi, wasn't it?
It was, I think, yeah.
And Lukaku met the header. Couldn't have met it in any sweeter, to be honest. Anywhere else and it's a goal, but the keeper got a strong hand to it and kept it out.
He got too much of a good connection on it, maybe, didn't he? You know, if he glances that going in, but, you know, terrific save from Pickford, who didn't have hardly any time to think about it, which is when goalkeepers tend to do their best work, isn't it? Instinctive.
You've done well to remember his name.
I did. I was thinking then.
That's why I called him the Sunderland rookie goalkeeper. No professionalism here. There's no BBC squad list in front of us here.
That's more like a police manhunt you've just described. Than
Sunderland rookie goalkeeper. Some redhead or something, weren't he? Anyway, not long after that, Mark, as I say, Ross Barkley chipped in from the left, didn't he? He played them, loves them little intricate passes into Lukaku, who fought all day long with Lamine Kone, didn't he?
Yeah.
That sort of ball into feet, which, let's be honest, Lukaku, it's not been one of his strong points since he joined Everton, you know, ball into feet, holding
things
off
tonight.
He's usually running in or cutting in or latching on.
Yeah.
Whereas tonight he really did show his physical presence and he got a shot off, but did you think it was a penalty?
I thought it was initially. It really did remind me of sort of...
Keep still.
You're
not tussling with Lamine Kone, you know, yourself.
I'm such a fidgety ass, honestly. I think it's because...
I know, but the sound affects the podcast.
Ridiculous.
People are wondering why there's all these weird leather noises.
I know, it's only me. There's nothing else going on. Normally, Kaku showed for the ball, didn't he? He wanted it. He wanted it tonight, and I thought that was good. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't, like, you know, avoiding the ball at any cost. He was just, you know... It was a good battle, wasn't it? But I thought he got the better of Kone, to be honest.
I think in the end it
reminded me of, not as dramatic, but the Lescott, you know, we all know the Lescott penalty that wasn't given against Liverpool. It was that type of challenge, wasn't it? Where the defender was pulling him down, not as anywhere near blatant, but yeah, he done well to get the shot off, but I think falling down, he had no pace behind it, did he, you know, but it was good to...
In that scenario, I think if he swung a boot at that and missed it, because of the contact with the defender for coming back, it may have looked a bit more convincing, shall we say, for the penalty. But because he sort of rolled and got up and, well, half got up and got the shot off.
I think you're right. If he'd have missed the ball, it looks more of a penalty. Then he did get good contact on it, didn't he?
But it was good to see Lukaku back involved, but obviously getting the chances. He should have probably scored with the header 5 minutes before. And then that was, you thought, is this hopefully a sign of things to come? But overall, the first half, there was another shot from Morales that was cleared off the line. There was a looping effort late on in the half from Sunderland, which had, you know, it had you probably looking to jump out the window there. I was trying to console you.
It looked like it was going in, didn't it?
You had your Ken White out flags out the window saying, this is all because we never signed no player.
I was going to lead the Twitter comeback on Ken White.
But you were leading the march, yeah.
I think there was a clear tactic there, though, going back to the Lukaku, was to lay the ball into feet. How many times in the second half he done it? You know, it was just a clear tactic, you know, which is putting faith in Lukaku to do it as well. But he rose to it, done it well all night.
He did, and I think, you know, when we retired for our Chris Butties and our beer at half time, we thought, well, you know, we'll continue to create chances in the second half, but there was a few comments between me and you, and probably every other Evertonian listened to this. Oh, it's got 1-0 written all over it.
Yeah.
You know, you think some little snipe for Sunderland's going to score, and like we saw that lad warming up, who come off the bench second half, you just think it's written in the script here, isn't it? Just to piss on our parade. We're all excited. We've all missed Everton, you know, for a couple of weeks as they haven't played. We're all full of confidence.
Yeah.
And then we get beat 1-0 by Sunderland by our former manager, and, you know, let's classic be honest, Everton. A very average squad of players. Classic. It would have been classic Everton.
But I think we're still whether we like it or not, we are, when we're watching games now, and we're trying to have faith that we're going to see it out. We're still in therapy over Myers a little bit, aren't we? We're not over that period where we've got confidence again than Everton. We just always assume we're going to mess up, or it's going to be classic. You know, the minute you think you're going to win the league, Everton always end up getting relegated.
I'm still coming to terms with the fact that he's had a £10 million payoff, and I'm sitting here eating fucking 10p crisps.
I know. Well, they were 20p.
And he put my life through hell for 2 years.
Now, what price to ruin weekends prolifically for hard-working people, you know, whose only joy is to go to the game, the fella who ruined pretty much every one of them weekends for the last 2 years ends up richer than Pablo Escobar.
It's unreal that, but anyway, it was definitely an interesting game tonight in the second half when we sat down to try and, you know, catch up with the Cody stream. We saw that Gerard Delafoe had come off the bench, Mark, which, initial thoughts
were Barkley injured, but he's gone bold. He's done he's seen maybe an area where he doesn't want to shut up shop, he wants to go for it. But no, it's come out. Well, I think it's come out, hasn't it? There wasn't anything wrong with Barkley. Well, there was no influence in the commentary or saying that he'd had an injury or anything.
Apparently so. I mean, obviously, we don't know until Koeman's been questioned after the game, but on the face of it, it just looks like a sheer tactical decision. But is that because he thinks we're so dominant in the middle of the park with Idrissa and Gareth Barry?
Yeah.
Should we take Ross Barkley out of the equation and bring on even another more outlet? And he thinks the only way we're going to get behind these is if we get at them on the width. Do you know what I mean? And he put Bilassi left hand side, didn't he? And we were just looking at the replay of the third goal there, where we just cut through Sunderland like a knife. Barry and look at Barry and Guy there, just passing it between them. See,
look at this.
Then Delafoe central, and then one touch pass. That goal is amazing in itself.
Actually, that was a marvellous pass. That,
when you look at the slow motion.
Is that Barry there?
I do apologise. We are we're doing a bit of live punditry here. Never mind Carragher and Neville.
That is,
you've got Alison Finnoff. We haven't got no bloody touch screen, though.
No, we have.
That was just, I think, I don't know, but obviously, if it turns out that Ross Barkley wasn't injured, then it's turned out to be an absolute masterstroke either way, hasn't it? Let's be honest. Delafoe, come on, I don't think Delafoe had the best, you know, 45 minutes he could have done. He certainly had an impact, but it was the way we lined up as an attacking quartet going forward. Garner and Barry were mopping Everton up, basically running the show. They were taking the ball and they were starting and breaking up Everton, but nothing really came at them from Sunderland second half. But they were releasing Bilassi, they were releasing Delafoe, they were releasing Morales and Lukaku and getting the play going. And that 11 minute spell, Mark, was unreal, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely unbelievable. But it was like, it wasn't unbelievable given the way we'd started the second half, which was just absolutely like putting a different, you know, wattage light bulb into the if that makes any sense. We looked a completely different team. We looked, I mean, you're right, Delafoe didn't have the greatest, but his presence on the pitch and what he offered and the sort of the balance of the team, we just look far more dangerous straight away. Koeman has noticed again there that what we're lacking, identified it and changed it. There's no favouritism. It doesn't care who you are. If he thinks you can come out the team for the better of the team, you will. It doesn't matter. You can never see in a month of Sundays our ex-manager making that substitution at half time.
It's a realistic approach and a cutthroat approach.
Yeah.
That will probably upset players going forward, but ultimately, it's results that keep managers in a job, and it's results that we want to see as Evertonians. So if he's making these decisions that are for the better of the team, and the they are getting us results, because look, it's happened against Spurs, West Brom. We've had a handful of games this season without getting carried away. But if he continues to go making these decisions and realizing that maybe he started with the wrong formation, or maybe he started with the wrong players, or this and that, and he's willing to change it even in the first half, like he did against West Brom.
Yeah,
don't forget that. It's
absolutely proactive.
Yeah, I'm all for it myself.
He's not afraid to stand on toes. He's proactive in his approach. You can see if he's made a mistake with the team, like West Brom, where we have no presence up front at all. He changed that quickly, and the result changed accordingly. But what I'm loving about Ronald Koeman, he's made the step up. Now we're supposed to be this new Everton, ambitious Everton, a different Everton, and I think Ronald Koeman is acutely aware of what's expected of him, and I think that comes from the top now, which hasn't been there. The manager now is he knows he's under pressure to do well. He's got, because I'm hoping he's seen the vision. He wants to be part of it, so he's acutely aware, isn't he? That's what's coming from Ronald Koeman. He's upped his own game, I think, since he's come to Everton. Absolutely, dude. I think he's a perfect fit. We look now like a solid team with players going forward. A lot of clubs in that Premier League could die for.
So maybe from being the sort of nicey, plucky, it's cliche, but it is plucky little Everton.
It's appropriate tonight.
Attitude towards us, whereas, as you said earlier, people will watch this on a Monday night, because a lot of people do, whatever the Monday night game is.
Yeah.
And I think they saw that second half from a neutral perspective. A ruthless Everton side, and an Everton side that mean business. And I think, as you said, it does come from the top, and maybe with Mashiri's addition, the changes at the top, and in terms of squad developments, in terms of staff, it definitely is a positive transitional. And the attitude itself, just you could see a vibrancy about us. And to me, I look back on games, and I think we did have a bit of that under Martinez at times. We did, sometimes, like ruthless. Look at the Stoke game away last season, which was a nice glimmer in a woeful time. But the first season under Martinez, I thought we played with this vibrancy, efficiency, and a ruthlessness to go at teams,
and a fearlessness.
I do think with Koeman as a personality, as a person, as a well-known and well-respected figure in football, he's brought this authoritarian approach to the club. And with Mashiri's introduction on the board as well, it, as you said, it goes from top to bottom. And now the players are realising it, because they're thinking, I'm not safe in this team. If I'm not cutting the mustard, I'll be out. I'll be bombed out. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter whether you've just been signed or you've been here for 8 years. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if he thinks you warrant a place in that starting 11 or squad, he'll put you in, and he'll make the changes necessary for the better of Everton, which is what we all want as supporters.
We've wanted for so long. He's not afraid to stand on anyone's toes. Not afraid at all. We've not got much cover behind Ron. Enna Valencia is probably the best now we've got. But apart from that, maybe, there's absolutely no one whose place is guaranteed in that team. And it doesn't matter how much money he spends on you. And that's what's so exciting about it. We've got good players already. That's what people are forgetting from last season. We did have good players, badly managed, and they've got rid of that. Now they've still got the good players, and now an excellent manager who's added 3 or 4 excellent players to that squad with a plan and a belief. And now, so exciting tonight, there's now a momentum behind us now. So if this turns into, say, another win Saturday, fingers crossed, don't fuck it. And then all of a sudden, we're sort of top second top after, and we're entering September, and then this is how it started with Leicester. You just you know, you get results, you end up staying up there, and then you get to Christmas and you're third, fourth, second even. This is how it starts. Tonight was a tone setter for the season. And now, you know, I hope it don't look stupid and we go on lose about 4 out of the next 5. But I think that result is what the biggest of the season so far. It's always the next result and all that. But I think that set, that just puts us where we want to be.
But Mark, there's no harm in being positive and excited about it. You know what I mean? We've had, as Evertonians, we've all been through it, haven't we? You know, young and old, it doesn't matter.
No,
we want our team back up there, and we're not saying for 1 minute that we're going to start qualifying for the Champions League or winning the league. But I think Leicester have shown, and other sides have shown, that with a bit of momentum and a bit of confidence and unity and a bit of ruthlessness ultimately as well, you can achieve. It's not just about watching the so-called bigger four. Well, bigger six, as they probably are now, go about the business and wipe the floor with everyone, because we're not going to do that. You know, as you said to me the other day on the phone, you said, I like the way we're sort of going about our business and just winning and recruiting players. And, you know, obviously the transfer window wasn't as great as everyone thought it was going to be. But in terms of the squad where we are now, when you look at the bench, we are, this time 12 months ago, we're a lot better off.
Totally.
I do certainly think that we are going about our business. Tonight would have probably shown that Everton are actually a good side. Put it this way, no one in the Prem are going to look forward to playing Everton. The Middlesbrough aren't going to look forward to coming to Goodison on Saturday. But as you said, I just hope we don't balls it up and it's a disappointing draw. But you need to try and keep the faith and keep the momentum and keep the positivity rolling over.
I totally agree. I totally believe in what Ronald Koeman's trying to do with that team. And now, he had a plan. He signed the players, maybe not all of them that he wanted, but he's got enough of them in, I think, for now. Now he had a plan. Now he's got the results behind him, and we know what that can do to teams. They've now got belief in the system. They've got belief in what the manager's telling them to do, because they're seeing the results on the pitch. You know, it's a stunning start to the season. I thought the point at home to Tottenham was a really good point against a really excellent Tottenham team, aren't they? They showed again at the weekend at Stoke. I know we're going back, but there's nothing wrong with Everton that day.
Yeah.
Second half, we tired a bit, but that was it. And that set us on our way again. And then we've done the dirty. We beat Stoke 1-0. We didn't get the will for that last season watching Shaqiri lob Buddy Howard from 40 yards. You know, and stuff like that. We didn't get the will. Now, small
steps.
We changed
it against West Brom.
Changed it against West Brom. A losing position to a winning position, which was the first time we'd come back from a losing in God knows how long.
Don't forget,
it's all great.
And morale boost and winning a cup. And
yeah.
Successive clean sheets now with the 4-0 and 3-0. Do you know what I mean? We've scored 7.
Yeah, absolutely.
And conceded none in the last 2 games. So these are all things that we need.
And also, we haven't even touched on Romelu Lukaku.
Well,
we can't now.
He's a big item to touch on, especially with his private chat. But. So Barkley went off. We don't have to go off on a tangent.
Mate, we've ended up on Queen's Drive here, mate.
Well, everyone thought we were going to talk about the Sunderland game. but yeah, before we actually took the lead tonight, though, Ashley Williams made an important block from Jermaine Defoe. Lamine Kone, ironically, which, you know, we were so close to signing him, apparently, point-blank save from Stekelenburg, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shortly after the restart, to be honest, and we thought, here we go, is it going to be one of them? They did have chances,
didn't they,
before we...
They absolutely did.
...ultimately started to take the piss.
We do continue to sort of look not as strong as we can do from corners. You know, we still West Brom scored every time. But Coney there, maybe should have done a little bit better. But Stekelenburg was equal to it, as he's been all season so far. Again, a little gem of a signing that's now looking more and more important for us.
Mm.
You know. Dead air.
I said to you about Lamine Kone, though.
Yeah.
If they signed him, right, who's starting there at centre half tonight? And you said, well, Jagielka could be bombed out probably, and you bring Kone in after. This is a whole new defence at centre half, isn't
it? Yeah. And is that always the best? I don't know.
I know. You think to yourself, well, I don't know, because Funes Mori has been taken out the equation. Mason Holgate, you know, I know he's been playing maybe a three at the back at the centre half, but. He obviously sees a vision for it, Koeman, and we wanted Kone, didn't he? That was made public, but we never got him. But He looked all right tonight, but I think, as you said before, Lukaku got the better of him, didn't he?
I think so. I think Lukaku's been, don't know, it's ever since them comments about, you know, when he said it was bullshit in the press, what they've been saying about him and all that. I think the guy, for once, and it was fantastic to see, he looked angry tonight, to be honest. He looked at a show.
Well, let's talk about his first goal.
Yeah. Oh, and can we start the Idrissa Gueye?
Well, I think we need half an hour on Idrissa Gueye. What do we call him? I call him Idrissa Gueye.
I call him Gueye when I'm mad with him. It's like your mum calling you your middle name when she knows you're upset with him. But I'm never mad with him. The guy's different gravy.
He's probably still.
He's like all my favourite midfield players rolled into one. He's Joe Parkinson. He's Dakor. He's a bit of Bracewell. He's a bit of Reed. He's like all. I absolutely love the guy.
A bit of Segundo Castillo.
A bit of Castillo.
He's probably running home from Sunderland now.
like Superman running alongside the train.
Let's have a word on him then. I want to talk about him, right? What, he's top drawer, isn't he? He's backed his performance against Spurs up with another four performances.
I think he hasn't dropped below nine all season. I'm not even being overzealous or carried away. I don't think he's dropped below nine. I think he's been fantastic. But it's what it is. It's like he was a good player at Villa, but realised where he was. And now he's waited for that big move to show how good he is. Kante asked at Leicester. I know Leicester, but it was a big move for Kante coming to the Premier League. And it's that type of... God, he looks absolutely irreplaceable. His desire to get around the pitch. Look at, you know, the chance he's taking off Lukaku and trying to score. He's wanting to make an impact. He's got so much more to his game than say McCarthy has. You know, think, but it's what separates the great players from good from the great is the work rate. And I think he's got it, mate. He's just irreplaceable.
He puts... You think about all of the, you know, central midfield players that I've had over the years.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of creative central midfielders.
No.
I thought tonight, Idrissa Gueye showed a lot more going forward as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
a he desire. Was willing
to take the ball 30 yards away from Stekelenburg's goal.
Yeah.
And he was willing to end up 30 yards from Sunderland's goal as well. But like, he had a few efforts himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he robbed that chance off Lukaku, don't forget.
Except I'm in a better position, I'll shoot.
Yeah, or I've created this opportunity, I'll score.
That tells me he wants to dominate games, he wants to make his mark on games, which is what we haven't had. I'm not picking on James McCarthy, but he's just not that type of player.
He wants to be box to box, whereas Gareth Barry's happy to mop up.
Oh,
Gareth Barry's got a goal in. We know that maybe 10 years ago Gareth Barry had more to his game, but he's not. He's sitting back more. He's willing to take the ball. To be honest, every game goes through Gareth Barry. He's the master of it, but it's just a guy who's showing all the makings of an even better player. Now, that's not even us getting carried away.
No.
This kid looks the real deal. 100%. And I sat there tonight, and he set up the first goal, which was just... even if he hadn't done that, you'd give him man of the match at half-time. I would, just because of the touches he's making, the vision, the breaking up of the play. He makes it look so easy, Omar.
Like you said during the game, he's almost like he's taking the piss. It comes that naturally to him. To be in the right position, let's have it right. His positional awareness is fantastic. He's always there. He's never out of position. You never see him... Well, okay, apart from the opening day of the season. You never see him lunge. You never see him out of position, scampering back. He's always there to mop up. I think him and Barry complement each other fabulous.
He really covers the ground, and there was a noticeable period in the game. Obviously, when we were battering them at one point, wasn't he, for a 15-minute spell, 20-minute spell. But
yeah,
he seemed to be everywhere. He was left-hand side of the penalty area. He'd be covering it right back. And I'm thinking, I can't even run the offie without blowing out. I mean, this kid's running out of pitch. But fair enough, he's getting paid a lot of money to do it. And he's about half my height and weight. But honestly, no, it's refreshing. But it is refreshing, I think. Everyone who's listened to this, everyone who's, you know, since we signed the kid, everyone was going, you know, who is he? And I didn't really get much feedback from Villa fans when I asked. It was just one of them. It was like, we brought him in, but he's a real find. We're only a few games in. you know, all the signs are great. I'm not going to say he's going to flop the rest of the season, but this lad just carries on doing the simple things. He's running the game now by doing the simple things. It's amazing, really.
He's controlling it by keeping it simple.
Yeah,
it's just really unbelievable to see how well he's settled into that team. He's just come right in, looked straight at home right away. His energy boundless. I never told you to love a player like that. I absolutely love it. And it's just great to see a player just want to dominate games. That's what he wants. That tonight, I think we've seen that's arguably his best performance. And they've all been worldies, let's have it right.
Yeah,
no, I could speak all night about it just again. If I had the missus, he would be sleeping with her.
Sitting there against Spurs, I thought this lad is really impressive. You know, could be a one-off. We've all seen players come in, have a great debut, but he's backed it up, and he doesn't seem the type to be like a, you know, a Pogba who wants a bit of flair and act like a bit of a divvy. Other players who want to be the centre of attention. This lad just wants to be in the team, work hard, and drive the team forward. And I do believe, you know, with that creativity as well that he's shown tonight, Ross Barkley and the sort of formation, how Koeman sees it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's going to start with Morales, Bolasie, and De La Foe all on the same pitch.
No.
For 1 minute, am I going to say that? But Ross Barkley's role as a creative player, and Lukaku up front. Does he say, well, actually, we've got the safety buffer of Gareth Barry. We've got Idrissa in front of him.
Yeah.
Can we afford to maybe play two or three wider players and then alternate? Because let's be honest, De La Foe, Barkley, De La Foe, Morales and Bolasi will all alternate wings.
Yeah.
As would Aaron Lennon have asked as well.
Spot on. Got it nailed on. I think now the back door is shut. We can do what we want at the front. And we've got such good players in them positions if they're up for it. I'm still disappointed by Morales a little bit. I just don't think he's the one who hasn't quite done it yet under Koeman. And I hope he does. I hope he pays him because Koeman clearly rates him. But to have that security at the back, we've now got, you know, Ashley Williams again. People are saying, I'm not thinking back now, thinking that window was as bad as people said it was.
Word on Ashley Williams, because I thought he was outstanding.
Again, much like Gray, no fuss, no messing, just done his job right there. You know, how many blocks, his communication is first class. You can see why we've signed him. You know, he knows the score. We don't look susceptible anymore to them ridiculous goals that we were conceding last season. It's clearly going to take something special to break us down. I think with him in the team, we haven't conceded a goal actually while he's been playing for us.
Is that a stat?
That's a stat off Sky Sports, so if it's wrong, blame them. But yeah.
But as a let's be honest, Leighton Baines, re-emerging this season. Martin Stecklenburg coming in, looking like a real deal in goal.
Yeah,
he's not done anything wrong.
Nothing.
Seamus Coleman, but come back into the side tonight looking good with Ashley Williams and Phil Jagielka in between them. That would just instill and you know, power through confidence in itself, just incredible experience and rawness to the game, which as you said, we probably lacked. You know, the past 2 or 3 years, we brought in Funes Mori. To be honest, he can be a bit erratic, but he's a big money signing. He's a young lad. We had John Stones there.
Yeah.
We've had players come and go in that position in the past few years. Your Les Scott and what have you. Yeah. Jagielka's been a mainstay.
Yeah,
not everyone's cup of tea as a captain, not everyone's cup of tea as a defender.
He's certainly my cup of tea as a player on his day.
I've got to admit, I love Jagielka, but you could see.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can see in his game how he's benefiting from playing with Williams as well. They're both, at the end of the day, they're both seasoned international players and seasoned Premier League players, as is Leighton Baines now, and probably Seamus Coleman. So that back four, hopefully, will now be the settled back four.
Yeah.
I have to admit that, you know, as much as I'm an admirer of Mason Holgate, and I think Funes Mori is maybe one for the future, and Brendan Galloway's maybe, you know, he's out on loan at West Brom, I do think for the here and now, and we've discussed it before, getting Everton back, points on the board and up the table, that's what we need. We need that settled back five, shall we say.
Yeah.
Martin Stecklenburg's obviously, he there's no dislodging him at the moment.
Star jump in his life. But I think you're right, I think it's time that back four now, we started cashing in on that experience now. They're all well versed in Premier League football, aren't they? They've all been around the block, and like you say, Ashley Williams came here with no airs and graces, he was coming here to learn. I mean, you know, been arguably one of the best centre backs in the Premier League the last two seasons, and he was coming to Everton to learn. So, but Jagielka will have respect for him, and they'll have respect for Jagielka. There's no weak link there at all, is there? You know, so it's like, we've seen Ashley Williams come on a sub, didn't he, against
West Brom.
West Brom, and was screaming. I don't think he'd even got in his own position. He was screaming on as a Jagielka, which I thought was fantastic.
But the thing is, Mark, I mean, I'm not saying I'm right in any stretch here, but when we signed him, I said it's not a long-term thing.
No, it's horses.
So Jagielka and Ashley Williams, if you can sign Ashley Williams for £9 million, you know, give us 2 or 3 years where we're going to get back up the league.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, right, it probably won't be, but we could be sitting here in 2 years' time, and Mason Holgate's the number one right back, or John Joe Kenny. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mason Holgate, centre-half, Ramiro Funes Mori still at the club and he's 28, 29.
Yeah.
And Brendan Galloway or Luke Garbutt is left back.
Yeah.
And they've brought in another keeper who's half of, you know, Martin Stecklenburg's age. You just don't know. But for now, we need that concrete
base.
We need the base. And that's what I said about signing Ashley Williams, and I said about signing Yannick Bolasie, because there's no bedding in period.
No.
Look at that performance tonight. Yeah, after 45 minutes, we were sitting here a bit panicky.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got the beers out in the crisp. Bolasie shot up the left wing. Williams kept it dry. And look at, you know, it's just a guy. These are the things with Evertonians, and when we had that little panicky period in the transfer window, where we're having a panic attack, saying, "Oh, we're being linked with these, we're being linked with them," and we
shared his being called a fraud.
I know. I made a few jokes myself.
Yeah.
You know, only Everton could end it with a loan and stuff like that.
But yeah.
Ultimately, I do feel like since we've been talking since May, Mark, since Koeman's been appointed, Mashiri's being appointed in his role, or come on board with his role, I do feel like it's a positive transitional, and everything's stepping in the right direction. There's nothing to me saying, oh, they're bad habits. Do you know what I mean? People point the finger at the transfer market, but look at the squad now, look at the players that are there who are a natural fit.
Different gravy, these are players who Koeman, when he came in, identified right away that the core of our team was weak. He noticed that the backbone was weak, so he addressed it, got Garner in, got Ashley Williams in, but also we needed more physicality up front, and he got that with Bolasie, which I love that sign, and he's going to come great for us. So we've seen it in the second half where he's, you know, he got injured, but before that, much more like the Bolasie, a Palace that we all wanted to see. I thought that's what Koeman's seen. He's quite clearly seen what the problem is with the team. No core, and now we got that core. It's a very good goalie. Because he's not a name, people reacted negatively to. But he's doing the job back there. It doesn't matter who he is. And Williams with Gara, and now you've got Lukaku, who's already there, and the likes of Bolasie. There's strength, pace, and power in every position, and that's what teams can't defend against, is pace and power. And we've got that all over the pitch. Have it all day long. Bolasie down the left, Dalfo, Morales, Lukaku. It's, you know, when them are firing, there's not one team in that Premier League who's going to want to play us. Not one. I'm not, you know, it's that good. It is that good. I'm made up. So you know, no one on Saturday.
Do you know what, though, right? You're right, though, because you look at it and you think, I don't know, with the transfers and with Mashiri, I sound like a broken record when I say it, but I do think people are expecting these big marquee signings, and fair enough, we may have the dough to spend.
Yeah.
But I think you still have to be realistic, and I said it on a podcast before, I said about European football, the last two seasons we've finished in the bottom half. Do you know what I mean? Some players are looking at it, I've swerved, I'm not going to Everton. Let me speak.
Totally, sorry.
Funny mess. I do think that in the long term it will come, and Koeman said that in a recent press conference, you know, the aim is to get back to European football so we can attract the bigger and better player.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the end of the day, we've attracted players who want to come here, who, you know, the likes of Liverpool and that might raise their eyebrows, or other clubs and say, oh, you paid this for them. And,
yeah.
You know, Palace fans were probably a few saying, you've done this. West Ham fans laughing about Enner Valencia. But to Mark, my memories of Enner Valencia when he first came to England was, I wanted him in Fantasy League because he kept getting the fucking points for us. So great. He was doing something right for West Ham.
He made that goal from about 30 yards.
I would not be surprised, right, if Enner Valencia is playing his part by the end of September. And he's, you know, come Friday night against Palace in our second, you know, not the next home game, but the second one, he's playing an effective role. I do feel that's where we're going with Everton at the moment. No one's signed to be a passenger. He's signed for a reason, to have an impact and to add to what we've got. And I do think that has shone through tonight. And, you know, I do really think there is room for improvement in the market. There'll always be it. And there's a demand out there and more pressure because of Everton with money and Everton with Ronald Koeman and paying Martinez to get rid of him and all that. But I do feel like there is a long-term plan. I do feel like every transfer window will be part of that transition. It's not going to all happen overnight. But as you said before, we're probably still, you didn't say grieving, but we're all still in sort of remission from Roberto Martinez's era, because with so many highs followed by so many lows and then a bit of a high and but very lows in terms of the last 18 months, 2 years that he was there. It will take time to get over in terms of a squad, in terms of a fan base, in terms of financially, in terms of personnel. And I do feel like we're seeing that now. Tonight was, it's easy for us to say, you know, if we would have drew 0-0 there, Mark, I would have still said the same. No, you know, I'd still say the same, that I'd remain confident for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And once again, we've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about the opening goal, but it was just a guy that got us off on that conversation.
It was. What a player.
What can you say about that lad, though?
Just fantastic. But also, great desire, great quality, but great quality on the ball is what I wanted to say. That's what surprised me most. His quality on the ball was excellent. Like, I think he gave the ball away once, maybe, didn't he? But the ball in was classic FIFA and, you know, a computer game type goal.
It was a lovely little thing, wasn't it?
Beautiful goal. That simple, which personified the way he plays the game. Lovely ball in. But his desire to get into the box, wasn't looking to give it to Dalafoe. He was, you know, Dalafoe was there. I think if that's anybody else, they look to find Dalafoe. But Gueye took responsibility, seen Lukaku was free, picked him up beautifully, you know, the weight of the pass and everything, the ball in. And Lukaku, it was, you know, what a player who's gone so long without scoring for us would want a free header 6 yards out, and he buried it. Great header.
And literally moments later, they had that chance again, didn't he, where Gueye took it off Lukaku's toes.
Christ, at this time, we just sort of just decided to absolutely kill something. It was like, we'd got a cob on, only being one up. So, yeah. And Gueye, it was again, ball rolled into feet, wasn't it? Lukaku backing off, holding off Coney, had it done all night. But sort of Lukaku was trying to get in a position to get a shot off, and Gueye sort of bad, looked like he pushed him out the way, didn't he? He said, I'm having this. And I think he maybe just slipped a little bit towards the end and they scooped the ball over.
It went wide, it was disappointing, but we kept going at it, didn't we? And then Lukaku, moments later, hit the bar, didn't he?
And how fantastic.
As we talked about that little battle with Lamine Coney before, the ball into feet, it turned, and he just hit it with the right foot, didn't he?
And I sensed a big chance there when that move was developing. Lukaku had been great all night with his back to goal, holding the ball up, and like you say, just the confidence now. See, I think you see the confidence a goal brings. And, great effort. I'm lucky to hit the bar.
But we didn't have to wait long for the second goal, did we?
No, not at all.
Again, absolutely fantastic. Ruthlessness from Everton, I thought. And for Lukaku, second.
But it was, what was nice about this was we've seen the Yannick Bolasie of Palace, you know. I really want Bolasie to do well. I was such a big fan of his at Palace. I know he was a 1-in-5 type guy, but I think he can do well. And it was great to see Bolasie really contribute positively to an Everton goal.
Down the left.
Great turn of pace. Great ball in. And Lukaku, the simplest finish, wasn't it? From 6 yards out. 2-0, and it was game over.
But again, that instills confidence, doesn't it? You know, Bolasie, unfortunately, looks like he's picked up an injury there tonight, but he missed a few chances. He's put that away at the end of Bolasie's check. There's Lukaku there. We're just watching some images of the replays here as well, with Ronald Koeman hugging Lukaku, which is a nice image as well, isn't it? So,
and I'd like to see Bolasie and Lukaku do a weird celebration any day over Coney and Lukaku doing a weird celebration.
So you had Garner Guy setting him up for his first. Bolasie with a bit of trickery down the left. Well, a bit of trickery. It was excellent trickery.
Yeah.
And then Lukaku's second. And then the third goal, which we watched on the replay just before. And I didn't realise in real time how good that goal was.
It just felt like a simple pass, but it was slick, interwoven passing.
It was like one touch. Two absolute five-a-side masters there, yeah. Gareth Barry and just a guy, just pass, bang, through. And Lukaku put in the back of the net.
So simple. Where
next minute, the ball was 60 yards up the pitch. Kirsty Gallagher, just come on here, mate. Let's take a break. 60 yards up the pitch, and then he slotted it, didn't he? It was a great finish, but he did miss one like that against West Brom.
But now two goals behind him, confidence pouring out of him, like me on Friday night. with the Badoo chicks.
with the birds or the football, I was going to say.
superb finish, one of the keepers. It's always great when the keepers root into the spot like that, you know, and stuff. So it was fantastic. Great goal.
We could have had even more, though, after that, couldn't we? There was so many chances. The list could go on, obviously. There was a couple of changes late on. Bolasie, unfortunately, had to go off. Didn't he? Tom Davis, come on. Hopefully, Bolasie's not too injured.
No, hopefully not, mate. Because I think that would put a tap. If he's out for a few weeks, then it's going to disrupt his own momentum that he's just got going there in that game. Bolasie was done great when he... Second half, he just looked like... I think it was ever since the Evertonians started singing that song. He took well to it, didn't he? Yeah, and, you know, it was just fantastic to see, you know.
But you've got
Bolasie.
There was other chances as well late on. A couple of other changes as well. Well, Lukaku come off, didn't he? Because Coney come on late on as well. But he looked like he was holding his calf, which is a worry, isn't it?
I know, but then, I don't know, didn't the body language when he came off suggest that it wasn't too bad, maybe a precaution? Let's hope it was a precaution and nothing else. But, let's just hope both of them are firing fit for Saturday, because with them in the team, you know, we just look so dangerous. Nice to hear Moyes getting a bit of stick sacked in the morning.
Yeah,
I don't think Sunderland can afford to sack him. When he just appointed him, hadn't he? But no, that's what you want when you're away from home. You want empty seats in the crowd. You want the manager getting stick. You know, perfect away performance.
You harsh bastard. No, but it was a great end to the game, and you know, obviously, point is what we want, and
yeah,
clean sheet is what we want after such a long wait. It was definitely morale boosting.
Absolutely. So,
what we'll do, Mark, is have a little quick break and then we'll come back and preview Middlesbrough, yeah?
Absolutely.
Go and top up the gas and Lechy. We'll find some crisps
and bread. We'll get some more crisps and bread.
No fancy studios here, as you can tell. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
See you in a bit.
Hello and welcome back to part two of the Everton Fan Focus podcast. We've calmed down now after that exciting victory tonight.
We have.
And we're going to look at any other business, and we're going to discuss the Borough game on Saturday, which is at R5 kickoff. For goodness sake, you'll be glad to know, Mark.
So all I can see is this tanked up supporters going into the ground. All you need is a bad referee decision on 1 minute, and that crowd's going to be like rabid dogs during the thunderstorm. Yeah, so that's, I love evening kickoffs like
that. Do you good dog the half-hour games are? Yeah, Saturday, aren't they?
They're normal, you know, and I think there's always a nice thing. I always feel nice when I know the rest of the world is watching, because that's the only game on at that time. And you know, the Premier League shows a lot of people.
You won't do anything to get a neck, you won't you? Yourself on Sally.
It's all in the net. But I think, you know, everyone will be watching us. It's another chance for us to show how good we are. And you know, let's face it, there's every chance we can go top. Maybe, I don't know, if results go our way. I mean, you know, I mean, we're now talking cap parties in the break, officially, aren't we? If we go top Saturday night.
We're going to have to start hiring a boozer here to do these.
We are, mate. Can't be coming round me flat all the while. But, no... Again, a very winnable game. Let's hope we can do it. But, you know, Middlesbrough are doing okay, aren't they, really, to be honest? They're not doing too bad. Got some good players in the Gato up front. But apart from that, I think we just need to keep our momentum going. And we look unstoppable there tonight, didn't we? Let's hope we carry on Saturday.
To be honest, you know, on top of the start we've had, if you want to keep your momentum going, at half five, kick off against the newly promoted Middlesbrough is the perfect chance to do it.
Absolutely.
So, we always have these doubts in our minds, don't we, as Evertonians, saying, oh, no, we'll mess it up and that. But even if they go and beat Middlesbrough 1-0, I think most of us would take it now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, would you have took a 1-0 tonight, 3-0 on Saturday? You know, it's just one of them, isn't it? I think it's another chance to show that this is a different Everton. You know, we're trying to constantly prove ourselves now from the Everton of last season. So it's like, it's another chance to show that, you know, this Everton means business. Absolutely.
Definitely. I think, you know, looking at the fixtures ahead of that,
yeah,
we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but we looked at Sunderland away, and we looked at Middlesbrough at home, Bournemouth, didn't we?
Yeah.
And Palace, let's be honest, Palace are no great shakes. Look at those games there in the next... What, the next 3 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, one of them's a Friday night game, which I'll see you down there for that.
That's going to be
live podcasting from the roof of the lad's roof. Swinging from the lights on a Friday night as we stuff Crystal Palace.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Who's Crystal Palace with his shit glasses. I'm trying to look like me.
Yeah, trying to look like someone intelligent. I'm so looking forward to that game.
There's a real chance here, a real opportunity for Everton to keep this early season momentum going. And, you know, you're talking about going for top of the table. Well, why not?
Yeah.
If you keep winning, you keep getting up there, don't you?
Yeah.
It's shown tonight, another goal there, and we would have gone second. So
I know.
You think to yourself, oh, they won't last, they won't stay there. But, you know,
but like you said,
all you can do is keep taking every game at a time and try and keep winning, try and keep picking up points along the way. The likes of Koeman as manager is going to want us to keep picking up them points and keep making changes in order for us to do it. He doesn't want to coast along and finish 7th or 8th. He wants to get us back up there.
There's a fierce determination to do it. And this is where I tell you, where I said to you, that a good, you know, like I'm not the only person that said it, a good manager can win you up to 15, 20 points a season, whereas a bad manager like Martin has cost us so many through lack of decision making. You know, I don't want to keep going back to him, but he's the latest, so we have to sometimes. But this is where Cuban...
Part of me thinks that you're getting a cut of his 10 million because you keep mentioning him that much.
I wish, mate, I'd be sitting on a better couch than this. But this is where Cuban is earning his crust. He's turned games around that you know, we would have lost at West Brom with the Martins, and we'd maybe potentially, you know, not got as many points as what we've had. So it's just... today again, you know, could have been a draw, that no problem. Tonight, but he's gone for it. He's seen that we need to win the game, and we won it so well at the end.
I do hope that ruthlessness shows through against the likes of Middlesbrough and Bournemouth, you know, in the coming weeks. I really do hope it does. And you know, that come that Friday night at Crystal Palace, we could have won the league by then. No, we could. You know, we could be though in a really good position, even if you beat Bournemouth and you draw against Middlesbrough, you know, you're still picking up points, you're still remaining unbeaten, you know, maybe clean sheets and stuff. We do look a more organised outfit from top to bottom, and it does speak volumes compared to last season where we we sat here some nights, Mark, and we
we
questioned life, never mind. we were talking about this and that, and why it was almost like, right, they're going to score, so we're going to try and score two, but at all costs. But even though if that's not working, I'm not going to change anything. And even though it's not working, I'm going to come out and say everything's good anyway.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion of Martinez.
Spot on. It was a complete nightmare. It was just like, you know, we're scoring goals in the 45th minute of the first half and going in drawing, you know, because we conceded a ridiculous goal at Watford. You know, them types of goals. Now, look, I think in the past, it's going to take a good goal to get past us now. I think, you know, we have conceded a soft goal at West Brom and all that. And you know, but it's, I think now, for the first time, it's going to take something good to get past us. Could we do look Williams and Jackson developing an understanding?
Well, it's cliche, but you know, you win games by having a solid defence,
yeah,
and goalkeeper and a solid spine for the team and being hard to beat,
yeah,
but also having that bit of creativity and glamour about you, which I do definitely think Everton have got now.
The stardust up front, it's not that bit of quality, you know, on its day, it's gold, it's absolute gold. So What is stopping us exactly? No.
So talking of stardust, right, a lot's been made of Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it because it's been very relevant in the transfer window, even up until this week.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about private jet. Every time he seems to go on international duty, which every Belgian these days seems to have.
It's written into their contract.
Either them or the family or their agent seems to have a big mouth and doesn't shut up. I wouldn't say I was surprised to see Lukaku stay at Everton this season, but I was glad that he stayed because I do worry about how you replace that.
Yeah.
He's not everyone's cup of tea. We've sat here, you know, blah de blah. I'm not going to bore everyone. I'm a big fan of Lukaku.
I
take the piss out of him on Twitter a lot, but I am a big fan of him. Ultimately, anyone who scores goals like that for my club, I'm going to be a fan of them, regardless of their attitude, regardless of. Maybe, you know, they're not the best toucher at the ball or whatever. What do you think, Mark? Do you think he's obviously said he'll... Well, he's not obviously said, apparently he's said he'll give Everton another year.
Yeah.
Do you see him staying beyond that? And, you know, if we end up finishing Europa League, place, shall we say...
Yeah.
Has he got the ability to move on to an even bigger club or...
Well, I think that was a problem this summer. There was that no one really came in for him. The whole Chelsea thing was a complete myth.
He did say he turned down a big offer from Juve, didn't he?
Yeah, mate. He turned down on Everton. You know, I think Romelu Lukaku needs to get his thinking straight here. It's not down to him. Everton have got him on a contract, a well-paid contract. And it's down to the club if they want to sell him, not Romelu Lukaku or his father. Or his agent, who, by the way, has gone very silent since Rice Hansen went over and had a few words. You know, it's not coming from his agent, it's coming from him. I think you're right. I think as long as he stays, as long as we get the Lukaku that wants to score goals and wants to, you know, make an impact in games and doesn't want to sulk, I couldn't give a monkey's what he said in the press. As long as he turns up on that day and wants to score goals, then the rest will take care of itself. If we finish second or third, he's not going to want to go anywhere. If, you know, we get, you know, we brought these players in to get us up the leagues, Williams, Balassi, and Garner and the like. If we get to where we want to be, I couldn't give a monkey's what he says in the press. I think as long as he's doing his job, which he's certainly done tonight, looked fantastic, should have scored maybe seven, he could have scored seven goals tonight, and it wouldn't have been a surprise. It was that good. I think he can say what he likes, I'm not asked, as long as he turns up on a Saturday. You know, he wants to be better, but then so do Everton.
So, you know, talking about that, we haven't got together. I missed you, the podcast on the
NBC. Oh, deadline. Yeah.
Day, but, you know, Lukaku was one to stay. Ross Barkley was never a doubt that he was going to leave.
No.
There was a few others that we probably thought was going to leave.
Yeah.
Only Aidan McGeady did.
Yeah.
And scored a screamer for Preston. but in terms of incomings, there was a lot made, and I wanted to particularly discuss this with you, not really sort of take it out with you, but I seen, for me, what I thought was unwarranted negativity. Now,
yeah,
you know, cards on the table, I'm no big big fan of Bill Kenwright and the previous Everton ownership and Everton, you know, even some of what's going on currently with Robert Elstone on the board, what have you, blah, blah. I did feel that, you know, the build up to that deadline day was maybe made into something that it was not going to be. I did think it was a bit of a false dawn and people needed a bit of a reality check, which, you know, don't get me wrong, I want to see Everton with a big investor and spending big money, but I also want us to have this realistic approach and think from top to bottom, as we discussed before, it is more of a transitional period and things will take time, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years we may have a new stadium. At the moment we've got new players who've come in the past 6 months, we've got a new manager, new staff, new setup, bit of new cladding on Goodison. Things do take time, and you know, I did feel that towards the end of the last 2 weeks of the transfer deadline that a lot of the press were quick to criticise Farhad Moshiri.
Yeah.
But also a lot of Evertonians were quick to bang the drum about Kenwright and Elstone being still on board and finger pointed at that for our lack of transfer activity. But trying to be a bit more realistic in my old age and not as much of a stress head, I do feel like that the targets were there. Maybe one or two we let slip, but we did sign ultimately 3 or 4 targets that we wanted. Ideally, we don't end at deadline day and with a loan deal and a young kid from Sheffield United, because that doesn't get anyone excited. But I do think that realistically, the squad, looking at that tonight, the bench there especially, we are in a better position.
Yeah.
And I do think come January, if there's additions to be made or departures to be made, then they will happen.
Yeah.
Because Koeman will nearly have a year under his belt by then, a good 10 months, 8 to 10 months.
Yeah.
I do feel that it'll even be better. You know, if there's any changes to be made, there might not be. We might be flying high in first position by then, as you say.
Absolutely.
I do think that, I've said this before, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I do feel like this time around we need to call for calm, be a bit of realism.
Yeah.
Moshiri's on board for a reason. Joe Anderson's on board for a reason with the stadium talk. There is positivity in the background that we don't know about.
Yeah,
I agree. Everton could be a bit more transparent. There's people at Everton who probably still unwelcome with a lot of people, including myself. But I do feel like off the pitch, on the pitch, we're going places. And that's what sort of spurred me on, regardless of what happened with this deadline. So that's all I wanted to say about it. And I thought,
I think you're spot on. I did lose me that a little bit.
The only thing I'm bringing that to issue, Mark, is because I saw a lot of what you said and other people, and I thought, you know what? Fuck off, because I want to. The past few months, I've been building myself up to be excited.
Yeah.
And I know Everton are the ones who let us down, but I just don't think that some of the negativity is even, it's just not necessary at all.
No, I get that.
And I do get, when we get beat or when things don't go our way, that we all spit our dummies out on social media and we all fall out and have differences of opinion. I respect yours as much as the next man. But I do feel that it's a positive place to be as a supporter at the moment.
Yeah.
The past, you know, I'm 30 years old, the past 30 years where I've been as an Evertonian, things have not been like this.
No.
And I want to enjoy it.
From
a selfish point of view, that's just my argument. So I completely respect your frustrations and opinions.
I really
did want to take you to task over why you singled out
Kenwright.
And why you
defended him. Why
you sitting out and say, looking at the squad, I think this was good and this is good. But a couple of weeks ago, on the face of it, you looked like you were fuming and panicking.
Yeah, yeah. I think what it was that sparked me off was Moshiri coming in for criticism from Diego, who got the biggest cheek on planet Earth after what they've let a previous owner get away with and not say boo about. That's what got my neck up. And then also people questioning Moshiri's desire. And this is why I got angry, because I got my faith back in Everton and the direction that we're going in. When it was announced he was taking over, you know, when he was the majority shareholder, my faith after so many years of absolutely spitting fire about what was going on at the top level of Everton, you know, ambition and and lack of signings and no investment for ever and a day, and just watching that all over the park, steal match after match. That's what got my goat, was that Moshiri, after what, 6-7 months, is now coming in for all kinds of criticism. You know, and I believe Moshiri wasn't impressed himself with the deadline, with what was going on. So for Moshiri to come in and get criticised like that, after we've witnessed, I can go from MTL, I can go King's Dock, which was the biggest, most unforgivable mistake.
Well,
but we've done all that, and the guy still is highly thought of by a lot of people. And Moshiri's come in, done nothing but good things, if you ask me. Slow but steady progress. Is now coming in for unbridled criticism, and I just think it was completely unwarranted. And it was also, I seen it as a defence of the other guy, and that's when I lost my rack.
But now you've explained it, so you see criticism of the new majority shareholder stake in Everton as
an endorsement.
Yeah, it's almost like deflection.
Yeah, and it's also as if to say, you know, it was better before, or I just, you know, I have an intense dislike for good reasons of our previous owner, and I just think any.
He's still our owner, isn't he, really?
He is, yeah. But his shares are being bought out if rumours are to be believed. But I have such an intense dislike that anything that I perceive as defence of what in my eyes is the indefensible, then I do lose my rag. And sometimes, you know, I'm sitting here in the flat, I will single people out and go, that's just ridiculous, but that's only my opinion. I shouldn't do it, you're right. Because
you should do it. That's your opinion, I'm not saying you're wrong, man.
I think tonight has shown my own opinion. I'm as giddy as they come when it comes to Everton doing well. I'll fly up with the rest of them. I'm not determined to bring, you know, to put negativity out there for Everton. I'll be sickly. As much as I am negative, I'll be sickly when I'm positive. Yeah.
No one's saying it's the wrong opinion. No one's saying it's the wrong opinion at all. And everyone has the right to vent it about it. And that's the beauty of being a football fan and Everton fan. The only reason I wanted to sort of discuss it is because I just don't feel at the moment there's a requirement for it. At the end of the day, Mark, you know my views on the Echo and
Bill Kenwright
and other people like that. And, you know, you don't. When you basically state opinions on those type of people, you end up segregating yourself. So loads of our fans, but I don't want myself to be like that, or you, and
we're
Evertonians like the rest of people, and I won't dismiss anyone's opinions. I honestly say that now, but
yeah,
I do really feel at the moment there isn't a room for negativity, and I think we all need to strive together. And it might sound a bit cheesy, a bit cliche, but I just think that there is real optimism at the club for once, you know what I mean? We've talked about stadiums for the past 15 to 20 years, but now we're talking about a stadium with the fucking Lord Mayor of Liverpool and a rich billionaire who's bought into Everton, and there's real promise for that. Never mind them with their main stand over in L4. We're looking at potential massive projects. We're bringing in a world-renowned name in Ronald Koeman. We're bringing in players who, they might cost 20, 30 mil at the moment, but what's that? What is that in terms of
20, 30 mil in this market is 10 million 2 years ago.
I really do think, it doesn't matter to me, like 30 million on Yannick Bolasie, I'm not that asked. It's a big thing, but it's not my money. Do you know what I mean? People need to start realising that. Everton, I think Everton are going places. I really do think Everton, for once in my life, and I'm a big negative person as well when it comes to Everton.
Yeah.
And I'll take the piss as much as the next man and have a bit of a jar. I really do think that we're going places, and I do think that, you know, there's a lot of people buying into this project, and it is a project.
Completely agree. My talks on the past and I really where they should remain in the past. I'm sick of talking about it, to be honest. I just want to concentrate on a brand new Everton. And it does feel like a new Everton. It's not a false dawn. It's not it just feels new. I can't describe it any better than that. Everything feels like we're pointing upwards now. We're looking to move on as a club. And we do need that stadium, I think, on the waterfront. You know, that is really the one that's going to do it for us in terms of where we really want to go. But right now, like you said, I'm buzzing about Everton. It's great to feel like we've got a proper team behind us now. We've got a competitive side. We've got a good manager there. And like you said, and it's come from the top for once, though. It's not, there's no acceptance anymore of all we're doing well, or, you know, let's lower our expectations. The expectations are going through the roof, and the manager wants to keep them going through the roof. You know, it's like, that's what he wants. There's a drive behind Everton that hasn't been there before, and I'm made up to see it, because I know this Giants, when it awakes, will take everyone with it. You know, but when we just need that now, so I just wanted to get that across, because I'm not being negative. I just think Everton, when we finally get our act together, the rest of them will be sorry.
But I think it's 2016, and, you know, the Premier League's a business.
Yeah.
Everton Football Club's a business.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, it can't be. Of course, you keep your values. You try and keep your values and respect and what have you. But it can't be people are just getting kept in employment because they've been here for years, or no, they do a good job, or it's Tony because he knows 40 people at the club.
Yeah.
We need success from top to bottom. We need ambition.
Yeah.
That's how successful businesses work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm by no means a businessman. I don't know nothing about the finances of a football club, but I'm giving my opinion. I think if you want more on the pitch, you need more off the pitch. You need it from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And that starts with the attitude from supporters as well. And I do think that we have a part to play massively. So
I think what it is with Evertonians, we've gone so long now without success. It's just, it comes out of us naturally without us even thinking about it. Everton, that, you know, all that type of stuff. There'll be people saying, watch us get beat on Saturday now. It's inbred in our mentality. I mean, that slowly but surely has to be squeezed out of our thinking, because that's not the Everton that this is going to be now. This is going to be an Everton where we're going to look to win.
If we're 1-0 down against Borough, he'll make a change, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to look, like Andy Gray said, I think he said about the 84-85 team, that they sort of kind of enjoyed it when they went a goal down, because it was like a challenge. They knew they'd get back in it and win the game. There was an arrogance about it, and that's what we want at Everton. We don't want plodding along nicely, good solid home wins against fucking teams below us, and then getting beat by the top four. I think that seems well capable of beating anybody in the top four. Well, we won ourselves now, so, you know, like you said, tonight we were talking about winning 4 goals at Sunderland to go second, and we gutted that we only got 3. This is the game that we absolutely got murdered in last season.
Definitely.
So I'm absolutely buzzing, mate. I'm thrilled. Oh, it's just great, isn't it? You know,
I think he's going to sing us out to a finish here.
Feel like getting the karaoke.
You feel like that on Deadline Day, though, did you, lads?
No, I'll let it get the better of me, because I thought we were signing Sissoko and it went sits up, so didn't happen, did it? But
don't worry, you've got your man Balassi there now.
Mate,
Balassi. Yannick Balassi.
Love it, mate, obviously.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think, you know, even if there's a couple of them out for Saturday, though, there's players to come in now, which is the beauty of a squad, isn't it? You know what I mean? You look at the players there and you think, well, they'll struggle to get a game this season, unless it's the FA Cup or the League Cup. But there's others you can step in for the likes of Balassi. Unfortunately for Lukaku, there isn't really many players that can step in unless you're a Rooney Kone.
But I think that's it, isn't it? The players, you do get a chance on Saturday if there's injuries. Are going to know they're going to have to perform if they want to stay in that team.
Exactly.
You know, and they know now that they're part of a winning team. That team is second or third in the league. Sky are going to have to do something miraculous with their top four graphic. They're going to have to maybe just put one team in it to avoid putting us up. But, you know, that's it now. We're in the top four. We played 4 games. Is it 4 games we played? Yeah, so it's, you know.
In the league, yeah.
We're now showing that we're not to be messed with, and players who come into the team know that they have to perform to stay in it.
So, any other business?
Any other business?
As we've probably covered it all anyway, but it might
the cladding is taking its
time. The cladding's taking its time, but
it's taking its time.
I don't know how. I don't think they've got this.
I went past Goodison yesterday.
I think they've got the scaff or the crane on hire for like 3 hours at a time, and then it goes down for 3 days or so.
I think it's council workers.
It's coming together now.
Yeah, I think the guys doing it are like French air traffic control. They keep striking every 10 minutes.
Wait till Coney scores a last minute winner on Saturday. All the cladding will pop off the side. So yeah.
If only they put that. Booming. If only that cladding was there before they put that madness mural up. But no,
I'm going back to Martinez
again. Oh mate, I'm sorry.
5 year deal for Ross Barkley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good business, wasn't it? Fantastic. Yeah. It was just. Good to keep a player like that. The club just really hope Ross understands how good he is. He's been taken off. Has he not?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, you just said that like he had.
No.
Oh, mate, I can't be sitting at home all day watching Twitter. I've got money to earn. I'm not going out.
You've got to be careful what you call him nowadays, apparently. But I'm not. I'm not contract nonce.
Oh yeah,
okay,
I've stopped calling him that now because I've seen a few people get upset over his name. He's a solid bloke, by the way. But I think if he gets off on it,
and we all like get called a few things on it.
I do, mate. Mark normally, but you know, it's not.
That's because you walk around Cape Town and wear shorts.
I love your shorts. I love Cape Town, so it's all good.
But yeah. That's the rumor, mate. That he's going to get off.
I think it's. I think if he signs it, mate, then all good. I just hope he fulfills his promise and beats the player, don't we? You know, for me, Barkley, mate, should be looking to be Steven Gerrard. That type of impact for Everton. He's not quite doing it. Look at the way Garner got all to the games. Got all to the game, Idrissa even. Got all to the game today. We don't see that from Ross too often, do we? You know, Ross is the more dominant player, absolutely, out of the two, you know. But we don't see that out of him, so let's hope. You know, that Barkley should be aspiring, and I hate mentioning him, but he should be aspiring to be a Gerrard type impact for Everton. He is that good.
And well, you know, ragging him off tonight, he's not going to do his confidence.
No, Exactly.
We're not here to keep personalities happy, which is the Everton of the past 20 years, is maybe being like that.
Absolutely, mate. If he's offended, then you're going to have to prove your worth next time you play.
Yeah.
You think about that hit, about being hauled off, and then put it into your performance, and that's what Koeman's so good at. He doesn't give a monkeys who he upsets. He's there to win games for Everton Football Club, and that's it, and that's what came to tonight. Brilliant.
Yeah.
How good did we look right from the way it got? Second half. Buzzing, absolutely thrilled.
So there we go. How many hours is that?
8:11. We've got work in like 5 hours.
We'll have to go anyway, yeah. But no, it's been an overall an enjoyable podcast, Marco, to catch up with you.
And you, mate.
We'll come back after the Borough game, and then we've got Bournemouth away, haven't we, and Palace at home, is that
we right? have, yes, we have. I think at the Borough game, we're going to try and do a bit of periscoping at our time. And
yeah.
Get some lads who I sit next to, happen to be family members, but we'll get them on, and get their opinions live at the game. So
yeah, because a few little opportunities there for the Middlesbrough game, so Mark and Ben... Yeah, you can't miss them. They look like Phil and Grant. Andy, Sedo and Darren all look like they're going to be at the Middlesbrough game doing reaction fan cams. So,
yeah,
little short podcast here and there, and that's what we're trying to introduce. Anyone who wants to get involved, obviously just get in touch with me or Mark and just fire them over. All you got to do is send us the MP3 clip. This podcast itself is available on iTunes. We'll put the Apple products first.
We will. Well, because that's who we want to get on board with.
Hopefully they'll, sponsor us.
And I can quit my day job.
If you go on iTunes podcast, just search Everton Fan Focus. Same with Acast. Acast is downloadable on an app. Just search Everton Fan Focus on there. And thanks very much for everyone for listening, especially our foreign listeners, which Mark, unbelievably.
Philippines, New Zealand. Yeah, big shout out to them guys, as in Vietnam as well, and places far adrift, Costa Rica, I think I've seen me had listeners.
It's if you can understand these Welsh Scouse accents. Yeah.
No, I really appreciate all the listeners and all that, and just hope you continue to enjoy us.
Yeah, thanks very much. Give us some feedback, and we'll speak to you again probably after the Middlesbrough game.
Take it easy, enjoy Blues.
Thanks very much. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra.